And it sort of explains itself. There was a group of women in a Bible study on the book of Malachi. As they were studying chapter 3, they came across verse 3, which says, "He will sift as a refiner and purifier of silver." This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, the woman called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest in silver beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest so as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time that the silver was being refined. The man answered that yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eye on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. For if the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment, then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's the easy part, when I see my image reflected in it." If today you are feeling the heat of fire, remember that God has his eye on you, and he will keep his hand on you and watch over you until he sees his image in you. I thought that was great. Sorry, I can see now. I thought that was great, that picture of, you know, whatever situation God takes us through. And sometimes those sometimes can be pretty tough, can't they? Yet, you know, when God is taking us and allowing us to go through different situations and circumstances, that eye that God has is upon us all the time until he sees his own reflection in that silver. I think that's an amazing picture. But it's nothing to do with what I'm going to say to you tonight. But in 1 John, who's been reading the daily plan that we've been having recently? Brilliant. Yes. I see that hand. I see that hand. Three of you. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, I've been reading it. I've been going through it. And every time, certainly going through the book of James, and today and yesterday and today, it's 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 2. And I just want to read quite a bit of scripture to you tonight from 1 John. Because I think it just partly speaks for itself. But I also believe that what God wants to do in our lives as a result is to challenge us a little bit about this. So 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare it to you. God is light, In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out that truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. And then going on to verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remain in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you all about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. I think the book of 1 John, and actually the book of James, is very, very challenging. As two books in the Bible that just tell us how practically God is wanting us to live this life out. And just looking at that 1 John chapter 1, You know, one of the things that, and please forgive me, I'm just going to be chatting to you tonight. But one of the things that God's challenging me on, and, you know, I believe that God is wanting his church to be a church that is not talking theory, but talking reality. I believe that there's people out there that are looking for something spiritual. They're looking for a spiritual reality. They're looking for something that is real. Something that they can get hold of and saying, that's it. I believe there's hundreds of thousands of people who are looking and searching out there for something that is so tangible. And yes, we know that faith, you know, our Christianity is by faith. You know, nobody has seen God, but yet we, or most of us here, trust in him. But there's a reality I believe God wants us to have as a church, where what we see and what we hear, I think it describes it very well in this book. It's like, you know, John was a disciple of Jesus. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. That's real, isn't it? What we've seen, what we've heard, and what our hands have actually touched. How many of us have prayed for somebody and they've been healed? Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I see that hand. That's great. You see, when you've seen God use you to bring healing into somebody's life, it encourages you to pray, doesn't it? Because you've seen it. There's a reality when you pray for somebody and they recover. It's a reality. I mean, I can always remember Helena praying for a lady up in Newcastle. Do you want to come and share it very briefly about the fingernails? Can you remember it? I can remember it. Because what I'm trying to say is that when we see something...
Can you see that? I actually carry this picture in my... I carry this picture in my Bible because it was such an amazing testimony. And this lady was 67 years old. And I was actually ministering at a women's conference. And I was praying for lots of women. And God was really releasing them from shame. And this lady came forward and was prayed for on the Saturday night. And I didn't remember praying for her, really. The next morning, she came to me. And she told me this story. And she put her hands out. And she said, look at my hands. Now, her hands were not like this. Her hands, she used to bite her nails. And not just her nails, but her hands. And there weren't really nails there. They were so badly bitten that they were just like stubs at the end. And she gave me her testimony, to make this very brief, she gave me her testimony how the night before she'd responded to the word to do with shame. And there was a lot of shame in her life that had come from a lot of things, bad things, that had happened in childhood right through her life. She was 67 years old. And God lifted that shame off of her. And she woke up on the Sunday morning, and that's when she came and gave me this testimony. And she said, I woke up this morning free from shame and free from pain. And she had suffered from arthritis and all different kinds of things. And all the pain went, but the shame went. And she put her hands out and she said, I don't need to do this anymore. And I just said, no, you don't. I said, and I want to see the photograph of when your nails have grown back. 3 months later, I got this with a letter through the post. And the story that this woman described was incredible of what had happened from her. From that day, she just stopped. She'd never had nails since she was a teenager. That's how bad it was. And she said, even on the journey home from the conference, because she was in a town that she didn't live in, she started witnessing to people on the train. God told her to, she didn't have much money, but God told her to give some money to someone. And she gave what she had and almost immediately got double back from someone else. And there was just testimony after testimony of what happened in this woman's life when God lifted the shame. And she became a giver. That was the biggest miracle for me, that she went from someone who just couldn't do or be anything. And this is her lovely manicured nails.
Brilliant. Thank you. The thing is that when you see something, you hear something, or you're part of God using you to do something in somebody else's life, that's your testimony. That's a story. And the disciples, what they were saying here was that we saw Jesus. We were the witnesses of him when he was walking here on earth. And we are now the witnesses that God wants for the people out there who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the people who your work colleagues, the people who are living in your street, the people who, you know, God brings across your path. And there may be once or twice or three times, it doesn't matter. It's just like, okay, Lord, you know, I need to be demonstrating your life and your life to the full in every situation that you allow me to go into. But it's just the whole thing that, you know, for me, God, I believe, is wanting a church like that. A church that is so full of reality, where when we worship and when we praise, that, you know, we are touching heaven. Helena brought a couple of messages, didn't she, on worship just in July. And just what is true worship. And true worship is when we engage our hearts 100% with his. And, you know, I believe that through that, when we're touching God in worship, I believe things will happen. I believe people will have pictures. People will hear and see God in a different way than they've ever done before. But this is the reality that I believe that there's a lot of people out there are looking for. There's lots and lots of people who have been, you know, part of church, who don't go to church anymore. There's hundreds of thousands of people in this country who have attended church, been part of sometimes a decent church, a Bible-believing church. But because of different things that have happened to them, there's a reality that they are missing in their life, that I believe God wants to rekindle. I believe God wants to relight and quicken. There's that film, The Quickening, isn't there? Don't please watch it. But, you know, there are, you know, things that God wants to do. And I believe he wants to do it in the church. And obviously, I believe God wants to do it here in London, where there's such a reality of God's presence, and there is a testimony that each and every one of us has, that we've seen something of God. So we've heard something from him. And that's why we're encouraging you to get into the Word, you know, and the things on your seats for the September reading plan. Because I've got notes from James chapter 1, James chapter 2, James chapter 3. And in part, I could, in a sense, talk about any one of them. Because I believe when God speaks to you, then it's not always, yes, it's for you, but sometimes it can be for other too. Yeah. And when you share what God is revealing to you, it can bring life and it can bring light into a situation. Because the words of Jesus are light, not darkness. And so therefore, when you're communicating the life and the truth of who Jesus is, the reality of these things, the reality of the words that he has placed in us, The way that he reveals through his scripture things that are so true and relevant for a situation or a circumstance that we find ourselves in. Then we can see God bring change into that situation or circumstance. And I believe we need to be a church, and I believe God wants churches around this country who are expressing the life of God in such a real and tangible way, where every one of the members or the congregation, whatever you want to call it, the body of Christ, that we as a group of people are coming constantly, this is what God's saying. Okay, somebody in your conversations, you're hearing, I need a job. Okay, let's pray. And then getting a word of knowledge for that person. Okay, not just a nice prayer, but something that is saying, okay, God, what are you wanting to say about this situation? And it may be that God brings a scripture to mind and you share that scripture. It may be something else, you know, that you got suddenly have a picture. And Ruth had a picture today, which I think was great, was about the green man, you know, when you cross the road and you see the green man. And, you know, when you see the green man, it's time to go. And you can cross the road, can't you, when you see the green man? And please get if I'm wrong, but what you were saying was that God was saying he's always on green. He's always go. You know, God is not preventing us from anything. He's open. Is that...
When we're approaching God, it's always green.
Okay. You see, it's things like that where there's a reality. When you've heard something and you declare it, it's bringing light into a situation. And that's why I believe that the church is not to be just one or two people leading it. This is us as a group of people with the life of God working in us. And of course, there's got to be a little bit of an element of control and a bit of order around these things. But at the end of the day, I want the reality of God in my own life. I want that reality where I'm seeing, I'm hearing, I'm touching something of the reality of God. And that reality then becomes so tangible for the people who are in my environment, in my circle. I believe that that's what God wants. That it is really that our lives are light, not mix or grey. We're not, you know that off-white, beige. Are you beige? Because at the end of the day, you know, I know that in my life, over 30 years, why are you laughing? In my life, there's times where probably I have been beige. I've not been as God intended me to be. In the situations that he's placed me, the circumstances, you know, that God's told me to go there, and I've not been as white as he wanted me to be. Why? Because I'm not allowed, in quotes, that silver, that refining. And therefore, I've either taken myself out of the fire too early, so that the process that God was taking me on at that moment in time wasn't completed. And therefore the reflection of God, or the reflection of the silversmith, wasn't actually seen because it wasn't actually completed. And I know that there's been times in my life where I'm sure that that's happened, and probably happened more than I want to care to remember. But I believe God wants a church that is full of light, not beige, not half thing. And this obviously comes back to Faith Camp and that message about hunger and thirst. Are we hungry, or are we satisfied with something less than God's best? But you see, for me, the reality is what Jesus says and does. The reality of God, I believe, needs to be that things happen when we're together. And I thank God for everything that he does. I thank God for the message of encouragement that he gives to us. But I'm hungry for more. Again, it's not that I'm dissatisfied. And I'm grateful for what God does do. But I know that the green is there so that we can actually walk further into the purposes that God has. Yeah. And we don't actually have to stop because God's sort of saying, no, come, there's more, there's more. There's a greater degree of the life that I want to give my children individually, but also in a corporate dimension that you and the church in the whole country and in Europe is not actually seeing in the way that I intend and I desire, I long for. I want you to be my witnesses, but a witness needs to be a person who knows what your witness is of. So what are you witnesses of? That means that each one of us has to have a relationship, the one that we're going to witness about, so that it actually then becomes real. That it's not just a third party, oh, I believe, you know, something came from somebody and who spoke something else, and there I'm trying to convey something. No, it's real because this is what I read this morning. This is what I read yesterday. This is what God spoke to me today. This is what God shared with me. This is what I believe, I understand that God wants to heal today. And therefore, you are now in front of me, so in Jesus' name be healed. And whatever that may look like in whatever situation that we find ourselves. But the reality of God means that we are listening to him. And obviously in the book of James, we were talking about wisdom and asking God for wisdom if we don't have any. I'm asking God for a lot. Because at the end of the day, I want to reflect him. I want our church to reflect him. I want your lives to reflect him. I want the church, I want the people in David's tent to reflect God over this coming 2-3 days. There's a river camp going on up in Evesham. I want God to reflect with everybody who's attending that camp, from all the denominations that are coming from that. The one conference up in Lincoln, was again a number of thousands gathered up there. I want God to be so present there that they reflect his light. I'm not here just to promote kingdom faith. I'm here to promote the kingdom of God. Yeah. I want to see the reality. And you know, when John says these things, the life appeared, we have seen it. What have we seen? I can tell you I've seen a lot of things. In different situations or circumstances, the things that God's allowed me to do. But that's history now. That's history. Whereas legs have grown or legs have shortened because of being back pain. There was a girl in France, I've spoken to, I think, here before, where a leg was shortened because there was back pain, and it was because one leg was shorter than the other. And I asked the girl in particular, so I said, do you want to go taller or shorter? And 3 months later at faith camp, they came and sort of said, tap me on my shoulder and said, what, you know, do you remember me? I sort of said, yeah, sort of. And they sort of said, I've gone shorter, but there's no back pain. You see, I've seen those things, but I'm longing for more. And I don't want them. It's a testimony and it can be an encouragement. And that's what John's saying. Sometimes what you've seen and what you've touched can be a story. It can be a testimony. But I want to have many testimonies. I want to have now stories. And that is part of the Psalm 42. Am I hungry and thirsty? Am I passionate for him? Am I longing for him? And then the story about the silversmith. Am I being prepared? Am I going to allow myself to be put into whatever God wants me to be put into with that a little bit of fire, but I remain there to allow that process to continue and to be completed until the reflection of the silversmith comes into that silver. I want God to be all over your lives. So that when we're together, or when, you know, whichever fellowship you're part of, that you are reflecting Jesus Christ in your life, in every situation, every circumstance. I'm just going to read this first thing. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. See, that's our testimony, is him. It's what he's done. And we proclaim it to you, the eternal life with which the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Just close your eyes, please. Scripture is amazing, and I believe that as we've read 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 2, and even that sort of report about the silversmith, that the Holy Spirit has quickened different things to different people. And it's important that when God or the Holy Spirit quickens something to you, that you respond to him. Because if it's the Holy Spirit, then, you know, it's the Spirit of the, you know, God. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so if he's quickened something to you, just sort of say, Father, I just want to respond to that. If you think sometimes that you're a little bit beige rather than that white, that pure white. If you, like me, that knows that at times you've taken yourself out of the fire. And so therefore the process that God was doing in your life wasn't actually completed in the way that he had intended. And it's just, Father, I just want to place myself in there again. Father, I do want to be hungry. I want to be thirsty after you. Lord, I want my life to count. I want that life to matter. I want it to be light, not beige or whatever, off white. I want to be a reflection of you in every situation and circumstance. It may be that you, even to a situation where I've never actually prayed for anybody to be healed, and I've never seen that. I just really believe God wants to quicken faith in you. So that the next time you're in a situation where there may be somebody who's got a headache or a sore hand, a sore arm, sore legs, sore foot, that you will have the boldness to pray. And in the scripture it says, you know, you speak the word of healing. So it's not a long prayer that you need to build yourself up in a prayer to get then that confidence to say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. But at the end of the day, it's those simple words that God may just lay on your heart to speak over somebody. And don't be surprised when it happens. For some, it may be just to share your faith with somebody else. Lord, give me that opportunity just to share that light and the truth of who you are, the reality. And it may be that you've come to a situation or an understanding. Lord, I need to have something from you. I need to know what I've seen and what I've heard from you so that actually I can then be a witness to those statements. So Father, I know that I need to get closer to you and to your purposes so that you can fulfill your destiny for my life. God has a destiny for every one of you. And that's to fulfill his purpose through your life, through the gifts that he's given you, through the abilities, through the talents. When they're in his hands, he can use them to do amazing things. The reality of who he is. Father, I just ask you that you will continue to do a work in my own heart and life so that I see more and more of the reality of who you are, God Almighty, in my own life, but also in the life of us as a church here. Father, I just pray, I ask you, that you will do a sovereign work in my heart so that the reality of who you are will be displayed in a greater way than ever before. I speak that over each and every one of you. I speak that over this church and every other Bible-believing church in this nation and beyond. That we will truly be people who will testify of what we see, what we hear, and what you allow us to touch. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Great word. Oh, are you challenged? I'm challenged, but challenge is a good thing when it comes from the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Because God always gives grace for the things that he challenges us with. So I encourage you to take that word, let it percolate around in your spirit, take it before the Lord, ask the Lord to show you how to put it into practice this week. Amen.